All right, so guy goes through a drive-thru at McDonald's.
Here we go.
He has vowed to go vegan after claiming he found a pig nipple in his bacon wrap.
Wonder how did he know it was a pig nipple?
Well, he's OCD.
And no, so, no, I know. Go ahead.
So what he does is he opens up every sandwich he gets.
Yeah.
And he looks to see what it looks like. And I'm trying to find the picture here so I can actually show you what the pig nipple looked like.
I don't know where you find this stuff.
There was a picture here. Anyway, disgusted Simon Robinson was only saved from eating it after stopping to check what his sandwich looked like because he had OCD, so it's something he's always done. He takes the sandwich out to his car, he takes the thing off, and inside it looked like a pig nipple. And he was freaking out. It was a bacon roll from McDonald's. He said, I always open up and check what's inside because I have OCD. This time it seemed like it was entirely justified. I know you can find that on a pork belly, but I didn't know that you could find that on the pork belly roll. I'm not even sure where you get a pork belly
sandwich. This must be like McDonald's in another country.
I asked for a bacon sandwich, and this is what I get. I dare not eat it, but I did eat the rest of the roll. I contacted...
Hey, that's really good.
And did you know, though, too, like if you eat... Like if you go get a steak, and it's not a good steak, but you eat it, you're paying for it. You gotta tell them you could take one bite.
Yeah, one bite.
After the second bite,
you have to pay for it.
Yeah, I dare not eat it, but I did eat the rest of the roll. I contacted McDonald's, who told me I had to send it to them so they could send it off to a lab. A McDonald's spokesperson told them we use bacon bacon in all of our bacon rolls, and due to the location of this cut it's taken from, we are confident the customer is mistaken in his claim that it's a pig nipple.
Okay, go ahead. Keep going. I have questions.
What's your question?
Well, first of all, is this a McDonald's in another country? What the heck's a bacon roll?
I don't know. I think this is out of the UK.
Okay, that's what I said. Okay. All right, so that was I just wanted to get my McDonald's.
So you know where I'm going here. What's the strangest thing you ever found in any food you've ever gotten? Have you ever found anything that didn't look quite right? I was like a thing?
Like,
yeah, well, yeah. Have you ever seen anything that's unidentified? I had something in some chicken fingers yesterday that was like a side thing. It looked like they just poured the thing in and didn't go through it. Like they didn't pick the chicken fingers out. They just poured it in. So I got something that looked like it was like this long. It was really skinny. It looked like a burnt fry, but it didn't look like a piece of chicken. And I was kind of like, that's interesting. First of all, it should have never been in my basket because it's just not appetizing. I was like, that, and it wasn't a chicken finger. I don't want any side stuff.
Oh, dog. See, I was thinking it was like a little surprise.
With the burnt French fry, I'm okay with it.
You know, like I ordered chicken fingers, I didn't order fries, and like, oh, look, you get a fry in there.
I did go to a restaurant.
I've had bugs in hair. I mean,
you had bugs?
Like a bug, yeah.
Like, we got a bug.
Fly.
In your sandwich?
It came in it.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't eat it.
How did you know?
Because
do you look at your sandwich before you eat it? See, that's
I took a bite. No.
That's really weird because...
I guess I was lucky. I took a bite, and then what I hadn't bit yet, there it was.
I will not ever look inside a sandwich unless I'm putting a condiment on it.
Yeah.
What? And now a condiment.
Oh, condiment.
I never found a condiment in my sandwich either.
No.
But I will never take... But I wonder how many people, it's not even OCD, I wonder how many people now look at their sandwich before they eat it. And now I think about it, most of the time when I go out and have lunch, sometimes they open it up and they look.
I actually do. Just to, like sometimes I look to see if the, I mean it sort of depends on the sandwich. Like if I get a barbecue sandwich, I look just to see, A, how much I got. Did they give me a good, you know, amount?
Yeah.
And then B, particularly, actually either whether it's chopped or sliced, I just kind of want to, I don't know, I want to see how it was chopped. You know, like or if it's sliced, what kind of slices? I check it. Hamburger, same thing.
I went to a place down the street. I'm not going to say who it is because I know the owner. And I really like his restaurant, but there was a hair in my sandwich. And I pulled it, and the hair was intertwined around the meat. And so when I pulled it out, it kept going. I was like, okay. And so I said something.
Yeah.
Because I'm his friend. I said, hey, listen, I don't know what the deal is. And the next time I went in there, I'm looking for someone with long hair. And they had hair nets on. The next time I went in there, it was like five times worse. It was like I bit into it and I could feel the hair. I was like,
long
what?
Hair?
Oh, yeah. It was like four or five hairs strung together like someone had actually
Did
put it
go
in my
complain
sandwich.
Again?
Oh, hell yeah.
What'd he say?
He's like, dude, I am so sorry. I don't know what.
Twice.
I said, well.
You need to change your practice.
Hair's getting food. It happens.
Yeah.
And nipples get in sandwiches. It happens. Roaches get in sandwiches. When you're talking about a mass-produced thing.
Yeah, of course.
And this whole thing, we make it when you show up, whatever. No one makes anything in a fast food restaurant.
But I feel like
it's going to happen eventually.
I mean, the hair piece I get, but like a roach or even a pig's nipple. I feel like if you're assembling the sandwich, like, because they are assembled by hand, right? It's not a machine.
Yeah.
Don't you think you would notice, like, if you're mixing it or you would notice a roach. How would you not notice a roach? How would you not notice a pig's nipple? Do you know what I'm saying? Like a hair I get, or a little tiny thing.
I don't know. They're whipping through it, man, during lunch hour. Man, they're flying around.
How big's a pig's nipple?
Like, about the size of your nipple. It looked like a nipple.
It was the whole.
It was the areola, the whole 9 yards.
Oh.
No, it wasn't this long.
That's what I was like. It was a little chewy, like, you know.
No, it wasn't like a little pencil eraser. It was the nipple. It was the areola and the
dude.
The nipple's the center, right?
And that dude, his OCD's never going away because now he's had justification. You know, because they always say this part of it is we do response prevention. The part of the problem with OCD is it's individuals who have OCD understand that it's an irrational compulsion. They understand that, but they can't help themselves, right? That's the whole thing. So that's the problem with this, because this basically tells your brain, see? You better keep
it. Let me ask you about this, because my son has OCD a little bit. He checks doors a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting better at it.
Good.
And there are therapeutic ways to do it.
We call it response prevention.
Yeah, and he's not. He was actually a person that had to sit in the sixth seat. He had to do all these different things.
Yeah.
And so there's different techniques you can use, therapy, to stop doing that. Mm-hmm. But I hear him every night checking the doors. Mm-hmm. If you're checking the doors in your OCD, what is it that makes them stop checking the door at that moment in time? Because he'll check the door like 7 or 8 times, is it the number of times he's got to check it?
Yeah.
So he's OCD about the number he's going to check the door.
That's exactly.
So it's OCD on top of OCD.
So if you stretch it, there are some folks who will have to check every door before they go to bed. Which, again, on the one hand, you go, well, that makes sense. But they actually literally have to go through every door in the house and check each door.
Yeah.
You'll have other folks who they have to check it 5 times. Check it. It's a ritual. It's basically a brain ritual.
Yeah.
And once that's done, then the obsession stops. That stops the obsession. But think about it this way, and I'm not saying this is true for your son. It is not uncommon for the 7 times to become 10 times, 11 times. And then what happens is the obsession just keeps running. It can just keep running. So they can check it 7 times. They go to bed. They go into the bed. They got to check it again. They go to bed. In the more extreme conditions, these are people who are washing their hands for 6 hours at a time.
Yeah.
Because the same way with him that it runs through his head until he's done it 7 times. Imagine if every time you did it 7 times, it didn't stop. That's extreme OCD. So they literally see people, they can't get out of their house because.
Is there a medication for that?
Yeah,
or is
there's
there a
both. Yep. So there's two things. There's one, there's medications that, if you will, they work on neurotransmitters that slow down or diminish the obsessive thinking, right? And so an obsession is not something we want to happen. It comes to us. And so there's medications that slow that down. Then the other piece is, because what happens is with the obsession, there's obsession and then the compulsion. That's the C. And the compulsion is, the obsession is, I got to check it. The compulsion is, I got to go there, and once I check it, I'll be okay. And so the compulsion is to do the act, and then you feel better,
mm-hmm.
right? You feel better. So the problem is that you create this loop. So what we do is, it's called response prevention.
Yeah.
And what we teach the patient, the person, and their brain that you cannot check. We prevent you from checking.
Mm-hmm.
And what you see is their anxiety goes way up, as you can imagine, but then their anxiety comes back down.
Yep.
And so what we begin to show people, and when I say show people, you show their brain. It's a conditioned paradigm that you don't have to check in order to feel physiologically okay.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, it is uncomfortable work for the person going through it, because what you're saying is, they're saying, if I can just check that door, I'll stop feeling so anxious.
Yeah.
And what you're saying is, mm-hmm. I'm not going to let you check that door. And then so the anxiety gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And they don't die. It gets worse and worse and worse. And then it starts coming back down. And what the brain gets conditioned to see now is, okay. If I don't check the door, my fight or flight will come back down.
Yeah.
And that's the part of what's called response prevention, along with certain medications.